Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social events in the light of Scripture for the purpose of reaching the lost and encouraging the saved. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Beginning of September, the 2020 Democratic candidates for president conducted a climate crisis town hall. And I've had a few requests to again address this climate change hysteria. In the spring, when Congresswoman Alexandria Cortez came out with her New Green Deal, that was another opportunity to address the climate change movement, but I ignored it because I've done at least four programs explaining the ideological, theological errors of this movement, and it's like beating a dead horse, as the old saying goes, except the horse is not dead. Global warming, climate change, it's kind of like the monster that will not die. It's like the Night of the Living Dead, where the dead keep coming back to life. It's kind of like the Terminator. You blow it into pieces and it comes all back together again. Now, there's been a degree or two of warming this century. The Earth has its warming and cooling spells. There was the Roman warming period from 250 BC to 400 AD. Then there was a period of warming in the Middle Ages from about 900 to 1300. You know, the Vikings at that time were able to settle Iceland and Greenland, and there were reports of bountiful vineyards in England. So there's been a warming in the 20th century, but over the last 15 years, there has been no noticeable increase in temperature. And yet we're hearing that the world only has 11 years left. At the Democratic Climate Crisis Town Hall, a young lady asked, "What are we to do since we only have 11 years to get off of fossil fuels in order to have a safe, livable future?" Alexandria Cortez, the congresswoman, said earlier this year that the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Where do those numbers come from? Well, back in 2018, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued a report that stated the planet will reach the crucial threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius, 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial levels by as early as 2030, precipitating the risk of extreme drought, wildfires, flood, and food shortages for hundreds of millions of people. So an average temperature rise of 2.7 degrees over 100 years will result in worldwide disaster, and we're supposed to believe this. So with that report, climate alarmists started making predictions and policy proposals because we only have till 2030. Andrew King, a lecturer in climate science at the University of Melbourne, said about the UN Intergovernmental Report, "This is concerning because we know there are so many more problems if we exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius, global warming, including more heat waves and hot summers, greater sea level rising, worse droughts, rainfall extremes. Global net emissions of carbon dioxide would need to fall by 45% from 2010 levels by 2030 and reach net zero emissions around 2050 in order to keep the warming around 1.5 degrees Celsius. Lower emissions to this degree, while technically possible, would require widespread changes in energy, industry, buildings, transportations, and cities." So this is why Alexandria Cortez came out with the radical New Green Deal to save the planet. And this is why all of the Democratic candidates are saying that we need to get off of fossil fuels. No more gasoline motors in cars. And with all of this talk that we only have 11 years left, I can't wait until 2030 when everything will still be the same and the climate change deniers will say, "See, we told you so." But don't hold your breath. When we get to 2030, expect that the alarmists are going to move the goalpost to 2050. Because this is not about facts. This is not about science. This is a religion. This is an ideology. This is a political agenda. Back in 1992, at the Rio de Janeiro Climate Summit, they released a statement that the world only had 10 years left to get climate change under control. Well, 2002 came and went, and they moved the goalpost to 2030. You know, you'd think at this point this whole thing would be exposed as a hoax, or at least very bad science, just like the global cooling movement back in the 1970s, but the movement is hanging on. Now, depending on which survey you look at, the public is gradually turning away from the global warming movement. It's starting to be ridiculed. Because you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. Because eventually, reality exposes the lie, whether that be the sexual revolution or feminism or communism. Eventually, life becomes not as great as was promised. Time eventually exposes the lie that you can be successful while breaking God's law, whether that be natural law or moral law. Climate alarmists have a real problem. Their predictions are not coming true. There are no dramatic increases in temperature. There are no out-of-the-ordinary weather disasters. Sea levels are not rising, no more than any other century. Now, some thinkers have suggested that what we are seeing is the radicalism that arises in a movement right before it dies. Before a trend or a movement dies, the proponents get very desperate. They become extreme in order to maintain the momentum that they expect, but their reaction only helps to bury the movement. And that assessment might be true, but instead, we might be seeing just more polarization, where one half of the American public becomes diehard skeptics of climate change, and the other half doubles down on their belief in climate change. These entrenched believers might hold on to climate alarmism for a long time. It might even play into how the world and leaders of the world someday view the disasters of the apocalypse spoken about in the book of the Revelation. That these disasters are not supernatural. This is just the result of man-made global warming. And you know, environmentalism, the worship, and the saving of Mother Earth is the oldest religion in the world. It's not going to die anytime soon. It was addressed by Old Testament prophets. It's a deceptive substitute for God's truth, Romans chapter 1, verse 25, where people exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. Anyway, savvy politicians know that the climate change issue is not going to win them the 2020 election. Although a radical minority in the Democratic base wants to make it a big issue, it does turn off many voters, the voters that they need to win. So the DNC decided not to have a climate change debate for the Democratic candidates. However, CNN decided to host a town hall climate crisis discussion with all of the candidates. It was 7 hours long. It was a complete disaster for the party. Not only was it so boring, it was unwatchable, but it exposed the radicalism of the Democrat Party. It exposed the ideology they believe, but would never tell the public. It was a Luke chapter 12 moment. Luke 12:2. But there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in darkness will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. So, the Republican National Committee put together a montage of statements from the Democratic candidates. And it made for some of the best PR for the conservative Republicans. And I just want you to hear this clip just to get a sense of what I'm referring to.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
We're going to be okay if the vast majority of the world goes vegetarian immediately.
Coal-burning plants. No one's going to build another coal-burning. We've got to shut the ones down we have.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should.
I love the vision of the Green New Deal. Do away with commercial air travel and a lot of other things.
We have to take combustion engine vehicles off the road as rapidly as we can.
What about offshore drilling for oil? Would you ban it?
Yes.
Absolutely yes.
Yes. Some of it is with light bulbs, some of it is on straws, some of it, dang, is on cheeseburgers, right?
So the lunacy and the radicalism of these candidates has come to the surface. I want to go over some of the outrageous statements made at this town hall. But first, let me review some facts. I've covered this subject extensively in other programs. I hate to repeat myself, but here are the basic facts to consider. CO2 makes up a very small portion of our atmosphere. If you ask some people, they think it makes up 40%. But oxygen only makes up 21%. 78% is nitrogen. The remaining 1% is other gases, argon, methane, ozone. Carbon dioxide is not 4%. It is not 0.4%. It is 0.04% of the atmosphere, 400 parts per million. And it appears as if over the last 100 years, the amount of CO2 in our atmosphere has gone from about 0.03% to 0.04%. And that may be due to the burning of fossil fuels. But that's still a minuscule amount. Plant life on our planet recycles CO2 out of the atmosphere. That is how plants survive. If there is no CO2, all plant life on Earth would die. And there's more of a danger of a lack of CO2 in our atmosphere than an increase. CO2 levels right now are at 400 parts per million. Plant growth shuts down at 150 parts per million. CO2 is the best fertilizer we can create for a greener earth. And the more CO2 that is produced, the more plants grow. So there will always be an equilibrium so that CO2 will never overtake our atmosphere. What climate alarmists are alleging is that since CO2 is a heavier molecule, it will significantly trap sunlight energy more than oxygen or nitrogen. Well, maybe. But the increase in CO2 is minuscule, and who's to say that a degree or two in warmth might not be a good thing? But climate alarmists are claiming that the Earth is very fragile. That's really the basis for their theories. And they believe that any human activity may create a domino disaster effect. Now, this is all based upon prediction, not hard science. So far, we have not seen these predicted disasters. And no, there has not been more severe weather conditions due to global warming. You know, in the town hall, Cory Booker claimed, if we do not solve this crisis, we're going to see weather events like we've seen for the last 5 years, from the fires to the floods to the storms, we have to prepare. But that's coming from tabloid news. Serious sources show that the averages for natural disasters have not changed. But if you believe the ideology, it's easy to attribute any bad weather, which comes along naturally, as being produced by man-made global warming. Now, you probably heard this summer that July was the warmest on record. Yes, Europe had a heat wave, but it was a relatively cool summer in New York City, and it was very cool in Eastern Europe and Russia. This announcement that July was the hottest on record came from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, but another scientific organization, the Global Reanalysis Project, which takes more data into account, claimed that July was not the hottest month on record. It was actually cooler than July of 2002, 2016, 2017. Now, the reason for the differences is that it's almost impossible to accurately measure the overall temperature of the Earth. And a slight increase in July's temperature is really nothing to be alarmed about. Now, all this is not biblical revelation, which is what this program is supposed to be about. What I'm talking about is natural revelation. The Bible doesn't give us the specifics of the law of gravity or the laws of physics, but we can learn those truths from natural revelation. And natural revelation is also God's truth. But just in the same way people will reject written revelation from God, the Bible, that is written revelation that goes against their preferred worldview, people will also reject natural revelation from God if it goes against their preferred worldview. And the measurements from natural revelation have not shown any global warming in the past 15 years. Over the past 100 years, temperatures may have gone up, on average, a degree or two. But currently, there is a pause in global warming, which overthrows all the predictions of the climate alarmists. Yet the movement is still alive for ideological reasons. And this is what we saw in this recent Democrat town hall. Amazingly, all of the Democrats are on board with this movement. Let's just look at some of the statements from the Democratic candidates. Julian Castro was asked what he would do to stop environmental racism. And this is an example of how critical theory attempts to make everything about oppression and racism. The idea is that the destruction of the environment is the way white people oppress people of color. Castro also spoke about how we need to get climate change education back into the public schools. Quote, it's essential if we're going to raise a generation of Americans that will do right by our planet, making the little decisions in life that will ensure that we get to net zero emissions. So for Castro, the issue isn't about getting the word of God, the Bible, truth, back in the public schools, but getting the gospel of climate change in the public schools. And this is one of the great errors in the climate change movement. The fact that it's a false substitute. A way to direct people away from the real moral crisis in the world. You know, while the Old Testament prophets spoke against moral pollution, Isaiah 24:5, the earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgress laws. The secularists make the emphasis physical pollution. The emphasis is a sin against the environment. Even as Castro said, we need to do right by our planet. Well, our planet is a rock, not a moral person. You can't do right by a rock unless you believe in pantheism. President Obama said, our planet faces new challenges, but none pose a greater threat to future generations than climate change. None pose a greater threat? Well, that's not what God says. The Christian worldview is that moral sin against a holy God is the greatest threat to humanity. So the climate change movement is actually a false gospel with a false definition or source of evil and a false solution or salvation. Pete Buttigieg said that if you believe God is watching as poison is being belched into the air of creation and people are being harmed by it, countries are at risk of vanishing in low-lying areas. What do you think God thinks of that? At least one way of talking about this is that it's a kind of sin. Yet Mayor Buttigieg has nothing to say about his homosexual lifestyle. So again, the climate change movement neglects the weightier matters of the law. It strains out a gnat and it swallows a camel. Joe Biden's response was the Pentagon sat down and gave us a briefing on the greatest danger facing our security. You know what they told us it was? Climate change. Climate change. The single greatest concern for war and disruption in the world, short of nuclear exchange immediately. And so where are we? Look at what happened in Darfur. What's Darfur all about? Darfur is all about the fact that the sub-Sahara desert, because of the change in climate, no longer has enough arable land. Unquote. Now in Darfur, thousands of people died because of ethnic cleansing. It was a moral problem. But Biden is following the secular liberal view that man's sin is caused by environmental factors. Not that man is corrupt or that man chooses to do evil. And this is the pagan view of sin and salvation. That there's suffering in the world because we are disobeying Mother Earth. That our faults are not our own. That we do bad things because we're forced to do bad things for the sake of survival. Now, Bernie Sanders had the most outrageous response to climate change, that we need to practice eugenics. He spoke as a true communist ideologue. A woman asked Sanders, human population growth has more than doubled in the past 50 years. The planet cannot sustain this growth. I realize this is a poisonous topic for politicians, but it's crucial to face. Empowering women and educating everyone on the need to curb population growth seems a reasonable campaign to enact. Would you be courageous enough to discuss this issue and make it a key feature of a plan to address climate catastrophe? Sanders responds, well, Martha, the answer is yes. And the answer has everything to do with the fact that women in the United States of America, by the way, have a right to control their own bodies and make reproductive decisions. The audience breaks into applause. And so Sanders believes abortion is part of the solution to climate change. I could go on and analyze and take apart many of the quotes from the climate change crisis town hall. But let me conclude with one thought. This is all good. Venues like this, the crazy election season, is all part of God's good plan. They mean it for evil, but God means it for good because it exposes the ideology and the agenda of the world. So the more these politicians on the left talk, the more they expose. And the more people will see the difference between the values of God and the values of humanism. Between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. And the more people will be compelled to choose. I mean, that's the purpose. And that's why God is allowing Satan to parade his people and his beliefs out on stage throughout human history. I recently read an interesting salvation testimony from Sarah Irving Stonebreaker. She's a senior lecturer in modern European history at Western Sydney University in Australia. And the testimony is entitled, How Oxford and Peter Singer Drove Me from Atheism to Jesus. Remember, Peter Singer is that leftist professor who teaches that not only should unwanted fetuses be aborted, but also unwanted 2 and 3 year olds. So Sarah writes, and I began to realize that the implications of my atheism were incompatible with almost every value I held dear. So then she started to read the Bible and came to faith in Christ. It was seeing the logical ends, the results, the agenda of atheism, of secularism, of humanism that led her to Christ. Now, there are plenty of people who hear the agenda of Satan and the Antichrist and love it all the more. But those who are called of God, those who are of the truth, will see the darkness, leave the darkness, and come to the light. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. And as always, thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you have told us that there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. In that revealing, may many people hear your voice and come to you. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.